Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word now, Lord, may it breathe life into our spirits and into our souls. Lord, may we see you afresh. Lord, may we know the importance of waiting in your presence. Lord God, we want to come this day and ready ourselves and prepare ourselves to be touched by the power of your presence, by the power of your spirit. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Waiting, hey? It's a bit awkward at times, can't it? We live in a culture, as Laura said, where everything is fast-paced, where everything is 24/7, where there's no need to wait anymore for anything at all because it's instant. It's there. And there's that lost art. Sorry, I'm a bit echoey. There's this lost art of waiting. The other day, I had this sort of unusual moment where I went to Argos. And for the first time, I had to wait for something that I've bought. It was like, oh, I have to wait in the queue for this. This is a bit odd. When I was a kid, there was one year that I wanted the best toy that had ever, ever been invented. I am a massive, still am, Playmobil fan. I think Playmobil is the best toy ever created. Now, I know there'll be other people in the room who dispute that, but I think Playmobil is the greatest toy. As a kid, all I wanted was one particular toy. And I saw it in their Playmobil catalogue that I got because I was that sad. And I went, that's what I wanted. And so I asked for it for Christmas. So I wrote up my Christmas list. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And Christmas morning came. And I was very excited going, come on, come on, let it be there. So we went into our living room. And there were the pile of presents for me and my brothers. And I saw this gigantic box underneath all of my presents. So, of course, like any kid, egging all the rest of them, go straight for the big box. Which my parents said, no, you need to open all your other gifts first before you open this one. It was like the worst thing they could have done to me in the world. But finally got there and opened it up and had the greatest toy I ever had. And here's a picture of me with my greatest toy. It was the Playmobil Circus. And you can see how happy I am there. With my legs in the air. Random, I don't know. I don't know why. But very happy chappy there. Although also what I noticed in this photograph this week when I was looking at it, it's just how OCD I am because everything's really neatly ordered. Everything's really in place. Bizarre. But the great thing about it was the fact that it was a gift that kept on giving. Because once I got it, there were all these other bits of gifts that you could add to it to make it even better. We've got some dancing horses. We've got some monkeys on a trapeze. You can't really see it, but if you want to look at it, it's on the computer at the back. We've got a magician. We've got a snake charmer. We've got a band. We've got some high rope walkers. And you could buy more and more things to add to it. And the whole point of a gift like this was to allow a child to do what children do best, which was to play. And there's more things that could be added to it to help me in my play. And it's a bit like that with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tenuous link, I know, is that it's a gift which Jesus promises to all of us. And it's a gift which is there to allow us to do the thing that as Christians we're meant to do, to live life, to share the kingdom, to witness to who God is, to make the most of all that life can be. But more than that, it's a gift that keeps on giving. Because the scriptures say that not only is there the gift of the Holy Spirit, but there are gifts within the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are things like prophecy. There are speaking in tongues. There are signs and wonders and miraculous things. And then there's all the gifts that I haven't got, like administration and organization and helping people and all these other gifts that are there. See, the gift of the Holy Spirit is there to empower us to live the Christian life, to help us do what we're meant to do, to live the life best way we possibly can. But a bit like this picture here, it can be like a circus sometimes. It can be quite chaotic. So when the Spirit takes hold, it can be quite chaotic. But we come back to our scriptures, and if you want to open your Bibles, you can open it at Acts chapter 1, and it's in verse 4 that we're taking our phrase for today, which is the fact that Jesus says, "Wait for the gift I give you." And the disciples are like, okay. And they meet together again, and Jesus turns up to them again and says, they're meeting together, and the disciples say, "So Jesus, are you going to restore your kingdom at this point in time now?" And he says, "No. It's not for anyone to know the times and the seasons that my Father has appointed. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." See, the things that God does are not in our way and not in our will. They happen in his timing. They happen according to his plan and his purpose. But he empowers us within that place to live the life for God. He says, then the first thing you need to do on your mission on earth, after Jesus goes, after he's had this whole time of sharing all these profound truths from the resurrection, he says the first thing you need to do before you go and do anything else is to go and wait. To go and just wait. And wait until the Spirit of God comes upon you. And it's very reminiscent, isn't it, when Jesus says, "I only do what I see the Father doing." That we see throughout the story of Jesus, Jesus retreating away to see what Jesus would have him do. Awaiting in order for the power of God to minister, for the power of God to demonstrate, for the power of God to show us. Jesus gives us a promise to hold on to. If we wait on him, there's a promise that comes. And waiting is something which we see throughout Scripture. You read the Scriptures and you see lots of people who are asked to wait. We could look at Abraham. And God says to Abraham, "You're going to have a child. But you need to wait." And Abraham doesn't quite manage to do that. We see people like Moses waiting in the desert for 40 years. We see the Israelite people waiting in the desert for 40 years. We see Noah waiting for the floods to come and for the rains to come. We see people throughout Scripture waiting for things to happen. God gives a promise and there's a time of waiting before it comes to pass. And in the place of waiting becomes a place of faith. Because if we just got things like this, we'd have no reason to put our trust in God. Because we need to wait. And waiting creates an atmosphere of faith. And it says in the Scriptures, in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Waiting creates an environment of faith. If you look at Jesus when he teaches upon the parable of the growing seed in Mark 4, he says, the farmer goes out, he plants his seed, and night or day, whether he gets up or he rests, the seed grows all by itself. He has to wait. He has to wait for the time when the crop comes to its full harvest. In the meantime, between the promise being given of planting the seed and the hope that there is of the harvest, there's a period of waiting that has to take place. There's a period where of faith just waiting in the promise that God will do this. And the reason why waiting is such a profound truth in Scripture is because what it says is it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about something different. It's about something bigger. When we see people waiting in Scripture, it's because they need to learn that God is supreme. That God is the one who is in control of everything. And to wait is to submit. To wait is to submit to God. To wait is to put aside yourself for the sake of the purposes of God. And all of us as Christians have a choice. As people of the world, we have a choice. We can choose to make ourselves Lord of our life or to make God Lord of our life. And the action of waiting creates an atmosphere of faith where we say, actually, you know what? I want to wait upon the Lord. I want to wait upon the Lord of my life. See, I know when I'm waiting, I try to think of every other way possible to make it happen faster. What can I do to make this happen quicker? What can I do to bring this about faster? I'm not prepared just to wait. When I was looking for churches, when I was in the process, as they call it, the settlement process, or as we used to call it at college, the unsettling process, because you haven't got a clue what's going on in your life, and it's a bit scary, I'd have days where I was going, nothing's happening, nothing's happening at all. And so I'd spend hours filling out job application after job application for anything to make it feel like I was in control, to make it feel like I was in control of what was going on. But actually, through all of that, nothing came to pass because that wasn't the plans that God had for me. It was something greater than that. So to wait is to say, I'm not in control of this. I'm going to let God be in control of this. And the first thing the disciples are asked to do when Jesus ascends back up to heaven, he says, first thing you do is you wait. And you don't do anything else until I speak, until the Spirit of God comes upon you. Because you need to have the Spirit of God in you. You have to have the power of God in you in order to go and do the things I've asked you to go and do. God gives us the gifts that we need for the mission and the task that he'd have us do. He's given us all things that we need. They're there. He says, I've given you the gift of the Spirit. The gift and the promise of the Spirit. So we need to learn to wait on God. And it's very easy, isn't it, when we wait on God. We had a few times over this last year where we've waited on God. And it can feel a bit awkward, can't it? You're going, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. What's going on? And rather than thinking about God, you're going, what's going on? Who's doing that? And then someone will break the ice and speak, either out of sheer awkwardness or because they've got a word from the Lord. And it's really hard to wait, isn't it? It's really hard to wait. Because we want to be entertained. We want things to happen. When nothing's happening, we find it really scary because we're like, oh, I'm not in control. But the whole thing about the kingdom of God and the whole thing about Scripture is God saying, I'm in control. And that waiting is recognizing that God's in control, not me. Not me. And it's really, really hard. Really, really hard. But they met together. And when they met together in a place of unity, the Spirit of God turned up. The Spirit of God shows up on Pentecost Sunday. And next week's Pentecost Sunday, if you weren't aware of it. The Spirit of God turns up on Pentecost. And they were there together in a room together, united together with one purpose, just to wait on God. To let his will be done. Let his way happen. And it says in Psalm 133, how beautiful it is when brothers dwell together in unity, for that's where God commands the blessing. And that word blessing goes back to the word when Jesus says, wait for the gift I have promised to you. That word promise can also mean the word blessing. Actually, when we dwell together in unity, when we come together corporately as a body with one purpose and one ambition to encounter the presence of God, where there is unity, that's where God commands his blessing. That's where God pours out his Spirit. Because we're creating an atmosphere where God can move. Because God is all about unity. He is a Trinity. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. The perfect community. Unity is at his heart. And the gospel story is about bringing us into unity with God. So when we dwell together in unity, there's something about that which allows the Spirit of God to move powerfully. It doesn't mean to say you can't encounter the Spirit of God on your own, because you can, and you can count God powerfully on your own. But there's something about when people come together with a common purpose and a common aim in unity, which just seems to amplify the power of the Spirit of God. It seems to amplify what God can do in and through us. Because where there is unity, it's easy for God to command his blessing there. And the purpose of the Spirit of God is to bring unity amongst us as the body of Christ. It speaks in Scripture how the gifts of the Spirit are given to build up the body, to unify us. So when we come together in unity, it allows the Spirit to move, but more than that, it creates more unity, because the purpose of the Spirit of God is to bring unity to the body and ultimately to bear much fruit. The fruits that we see in Galatians 5 or Corinthians 13. The fruit of love and patience and kindness and self-control and goodness. The gifts are given to bring unity. The reason why we can wait on God and ask Him to bring words of prophecy or word of knowledge isn't just because it's a crazy thing to do, we might as well. It's for the purpose of bringing unity to the body. It's the purpose of building us up as the body of Christ. We wait on the Spirit of God to move amongst us, to build us up and to build up the body. What's interesting is you go through Scripture, particularly in the Psalms, you see in the Psalms time and time and time again, the words, wait on the Lord. And that can be wait on the Lord for an answer. It can be wait on the Lord to find strength. Wait on the Lord to find protection and shelter. But actually waiting, submitting every other thing in your life to waiting upon the purpose and plans of God, allows us to see God in a brand new way. It allows us to see what God has for us. It allows us to see the fullness that He is. To wait on God is to submit to His authority. And we submit to His authority, we find the truth of who He is to us. We find identity in Him. It says in Isaiah 40, 31, those that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. And I've said before this, I've said before preaching here several times, that word wait in the Hebrew there can mean those that gather together. It's another translation of that word to wait. That those that gather together renew their strength. The same principle, when we come together in the purpose of unity, when we come together seeking the heartbeat of God, it releases, I believe, the Spirit of God, the power of God, to build us up as a people. So worship can be a way of releasing a waiting spirit. It can aid us in our waiting. And it says, in Ephesians 5:17 through to 20, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saying, don't get drunk on wine, be filled with the Spirit. He's saying, why replace what you could have with something else? Why choose your own life? Why choose your own lordship when you can choose something else which is so much better? When you can choose the lordship of God? Don't get drunk on that. Fill yourself up with something which is something which brings life. Rather than something that leads to death and debauchery, fill yourself with something which brings life. And that word there, to be filled in the Spirit, isn't a one-time action. It's a continuous action in the Greek. To constantly be filled with the Spirit of God. To constantly be filled. Jesus says at the beginning of every single gospel, John baptizes with water, but I baptize, there's a baptism coming of fire, referring to the Spirit of God. And then the fifth time in the New Testament where it's mentioned, here in Acts, which says, I baptize with the Holy Spirit. We need to be, baptism, think about it, in water, it's full immersion, isn't it, in water? It completely consumes you. It gets you completely wet. You can't come out of the water and not be wet. In the same way that when we have a baptism of the Holy Spirit, it consumes us, it immerses us, it can't help but change us and affect us. We wait on God for that baptism. We wait on God for that continual filling of the Spirit, so that we can be changed by Him, so that we can be empowered to do the tasks of Him. We seek the gifts of the Spirit, not for their own sake, but we seek the gifts of the Spirit so we see the fruit of the Spirit happen in our church, in our world. The fruits of the Spirit of love, a love that conquers all things. But it says in Corinthians, to eagerly wait for God to move. And next week's Pentecost Sunday. And I want to spend time next Sunday just waiting and asking the Spirit of God to move amongst us. I want us to wait on Him. I want us to prepare our hearts to wait upon Him. So when we don't wait for God, we miss out. We miss out. If you go very quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 13, there's a story there about Saul. And Saul, they're waiting for Samuel to come to do a sacrifice. And they've waited, and they've waited and waited and waited, and Samuel hasn't turned up yet. So Saul thinks, well, I'll do it instead. I'll do the sacrifice. And because he does the sacrifice instead of Samuel, who should be doing it, God basically turns around to Saul and says, you're not my man. You've lost the spirit that I had upon you because you stepped out of what you should have been doing. When we don't wait and we try and act in advance of waiting, there's a danger we miss out on what God could do and what God might do. And one of the wisest things we can sometimes do in the church is just to sit and wait before we go and act. Doesn't mean to say that in fact we have to wait for everything. There are some things we would know are the right thing to do because they're biblical, they're right, it seems logical, let's just go and do it. But when it comes to being filled with the Spirit and being renewed and finding new strength in what you're trying to do and achieve, waiting is the beginning point to everything. Waiting, abiding in Him. Those who abide in me will bear much fruit. To rest in God's presence is to be empowered to do the task of mission that we're called to do as Christians, to live this Christian life. When we're struggling in our Christian walk, the best thing we can do is to stop and to wait and abide in Him, to renew our strength. That's the best thing we can do. The best place we can be is to be waiting in the presence of God, to put Him first and submit to His authority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God who longs to meet with Your people. Lord, thank You that Your word is true. Lord, thank You that You speak life to us. That, Lord, You want us to be baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. You want us to see miraculous things done by the power of Your Spirit in this life. Lord, help us prepare our hearts this day. Help us be able to wait, to not find it awkward, but to trust that actually in the waiting, it creates a space for You to move in Your time, in the way that You choose, not according to our plan and our purpose. Lord God, help us in all that we do. In Your name I ask. Amen.